Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate, with a topic that most of us have given thought to, may have simply dismissed, but it turns out sometimes can be dangerous. The topic is varicose veins, and I have two doctors in the studio with me this morning who can tell us more about why we should be concerned. Dr. Vivian Gatton. Dr. Gatton is the Lloyd Rogers Professor of Surgery at SUNY Upstate. Good morning, Dr. Gatton.
Good morning.
We're happy to have you here. And Dr. Michael Costanza, Assistant Professor of Surgery. Good morning, Dr. Costanza.
Good morning.
And both Dr. Gatton and Dr. Costanza are vascular surgeons, which makes them the right people for this conversation. Okay, so most of us know that we have varicose veins, but I'm not sure we even know how to identify them or when they're dangerous. How do we know this, Dr. Gatton?
Varicose veins are superficial veins which are just under the skin, and they become distended and tortuous, where they become sort of squiggly over time and they bulge out from under the skin surface.
Sometimes they look like they have little knots in them.
Yes, they do.
And I have got to guess, and Dr. Costanza, you tell me, is it the knots that makes them dangerous?
Well, it's not the knots so much as that they can be uncomfortable, and the distended veins can cause pain or itching or a feeling of heaviness in the legs. And patients with a severe amount of veins or a large number of veins can actually be at increased risk for blood clots, which, you know, as we know, are dangerous for your overall health. But that's an unusual circumstance. In general, the veins are important because they do cause symptoms.
Well, you know, I've heard a couple of different terms. I've heard them called varicose veins, and then I've also heard them called spider veins. Are they the same thing?
They're not the same thing, although it's in some ways a spectrum of a problem. Varicose veins are the larger veins, and then there are medium-sized veins called reticular veins, which are more of the blue veins you can sort of see under the skin that may protrude only slightly. Then there are much smaller ones that fit the spider vein category. Some of them are red in color. Others are more purple in color. Sometimes they're isolated little areas, and sometimes they're in clusters or grouped together in areas on the limb.
Are these more a male or female problem, or do you see it in both?
We actually do see it in both men and women. It's always been more common in women, but I think in the past that's because more women sought treatment for them. But now we're seeing even more men have them and seek treatment. So it does occur in both men and women.
And, you know, I actually think of it in terms of women who are older. So now you're telling me it's men and women, and so maybe I'm wrong about the age groups too.
Venous disease in general, I think of as the working age disease or problems. Varicose veins can occur as early as somebody in their teens, very uncommon earlier than that. But you'll see them in individuals as young as their early 20s and most commonly present from that age on through their 50s and 60s. That being said, we see older patients who have varicose vein problems, and we treat them as well.
Well, you said earlier, Dr. Costanza, that there are symptoms. And so now I think of, you know, I've got some veins in my legs, and I see them, but do I have symptoms? If I do, I don't know it.
Well, the most common symptoms are really a feeling of heaviness or leg fatigue, especially after you've been standing for a long time or if you have a job that requires you to be on your feet all day.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can get tenderness around the veins, and then some people can even get severe itching around the veins. And it's more common in people that are up on their feet all day. They are the more likely ones to present with symptoms.
It's interesting you say itching, because I have to think that if I was having itching problems, I wouldn't think of it having anything to do with my veins.
Right, and I think that's the interesting thing about varicose veins is that most people, when you do question them enough, they do actually have symptoms. They may not have put the symptoms and the veins together, but that's sometimes our role.
So let's step back. As I was saying earlier, it can be dangerous if they aren't taken care of, but how do you know which veins might be dangerous and which ones aren't?
Well, there are only the two basic serious complications that you worry about are the development of blood clots, and the other one is sometimes the veins come so close to the surface, a very few patients will have problems with bleeding.
Okay.
And those, I think, are your two direct indications that you need to do something in terms of a health risk.
Mm-hmm.
Blood clots in general are uncommon, isolated to varicose veins, but patients do get clots in them, and they can be quite tender. As a general rule, if they have extensive varicose veins, we strongly encourage treatment for them, whether that involve a surgical procedure, a less invasive procedure, or just compression therapy.
Well, there are some people that choose treatment for perhaps cosmetic purposes as opposed to health purposes. How a patient comes to you, Dr. Costanza, and how do you evaluate whether or not treatment even needs to be made?
Well, I think the first thing is to take a careful history from the patient and find out what kind of problems they're having and what their daily activities are and how this affects their daily activities. I think that the patient that, you know, like I said, is on their feet all day and really does feel tired and have leg fatigue at the end of the day, that's really the ideal patient to treat them for, and you really are treating a symptom. The patient that doesn't have any symptoms at all and it leads a more sedentary lifestyle may just be interested in the cosmetic effects. So it's really our job to try to sort that out with the patient.
What kinds of treatments are there?
The first very basic treatment that we recommend to all patients who have symptomatic varicose veins is compression therapy, which is basically an elastic compression stocking with a set degree of compression. And they're a prescription-type stocking. They're not simply support hose mm-hmm. that you purchase at the store.
And those kind of just hold them in?
Yes. The reason we believe people have symptoms is that blood pools in the leg. And the stocking is tight enough that it compresses the varicose veins so that you should have at least some degree of relief of symptoms related to the stockings. Mm-hmm. The stockings don't work for everybody. Sometimes they don't lessen the symptoms enough, and sometimes there are just issues with wearing the stockings. But that is the first line of treatment for varicose veins. The second, then after that, it's really customized to the patient, both based on the size and location of the veins, the source of them, for which we do further evaluation with ultrasound, and what their goals are in the treatment of their varicose vein disease. And so we put all of that together with the options to select which one to do.
Are there drugs that people can take to help?
You know, there's no medication that we use or that's really widely used for the treatment. It's either mechanical therapy in the form of compression or some kind of invasive therapy to actually remove the veins.
Now, I've heard a word, and I'm sure many of our listeners too, I've heard of people getting their veins stripped. And even my legs want to crunch up underneath me every time I hear that. What is getting your veins stripped? Is that one of the surgical things you're talking about?
Right, that's a surgical procedure where the vein is actually removed, usually through one or two small incisions on the leg.
Uh-huh.
And that's been done for many, many years.
Sure.
Now we have other means of accomplishing that same procedure without actually making any incisions. And so we have what they call vein ablation procedures where the vein is actually ablated or treated on the inside so that the body will actually absorb it and close off the vein without making any surgical incisions on the leg.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And actually, it sounds a whole lot more comfortable than the other way. You know, though, I have to wonder if people are getting their veins taken care of for cosmetic purposes versus for health purposes, there must be also a difference in the way insurance covers this kind of thing. Is there a range?
There is a range, and for varicose vein disease, there's a wide spectrum of and differences in what different insurance companies will cover
mm-hmm.
and what they're looking for in terms of previous treatment trials. But as a general rule, for symptomatic varicose vein disease, most companies or insurance companies will provide some coverage for some treatment.
As long as there are symptoms that you can
for say symptomatic disease.
Yes.
As a general rule, for cosmetic issues, which is true for any cosmetic procedure, it's usually an out-of-pocket expense.
Sure. Do people come directly to you, or are they typically referred, like through their primary care doctor?
We have both. We have direct referrals, patients that have been living with the varicose veins and finally want to have something done. And then we have patients that are referred by their primary care that notices the varicose veins,
mm-hmm.
and the patient may not have realized that they're actually causing symptoms and they get referred. So.
And they do. What happens if they don't get treated?
Well, if you don't get treated, I think the if you have significant symptoms, then you really do take. There are quality of life issues, especially if you have a job that requires you to be on your feet all day. I think it can be uncomfortable. The veins can get worse over time, and if they progress significantly, then you would be at risk for the complications that Dr. Gatton discussed earlier. So
the bottom line is, if people think there could be any kind of a problem, or if they're feeling that discomfort, they really should be talking to their doctors about it?
I think that going to their primary care doctor or to self-refer, depending on what their symptoms are and how they feel about it, that's a very reasonable thing to do.
And if they want to self-refer, how do they get in touch with you?
They can call the call center.
Okay. And do you have a phone number for the call center?
315-464-1800.
Okay. But you have offices outside of Central New York as well, don't you?
We do. We have two private offices, one in Oswego and the other in Adams.
Okay. You know what we'll do? We'll put all of your phone numbers and all that referral information on our HealthLink On Air website. Now, I know there are other treatments and so forth. We didn't cover everything this morning. We're running out of time. But if people do want more information, we're going to put resources for them on our HealthLink On Air website. And Dr. Gatton and Dr. Costanzo, we thank you so much for coming by this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listeners, we'll be right back after a quick break. Please stay with us. This is SUNY Upstate Medical University's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.